Hello, my name's Mike Talty from Microsoft in the UK, and this is one of a continuing series of short screencasts around the networking stack in Silverlight 4, and specifically using Silverlight 4 Beta 2 and Visual Studio 2010 Beta. You really need to watch these videos in order for them to make sense. In video 1, we used Web Client to do a simple async download of some XML. In video 2, we looked at changing the format to RSS, Atom, and JSON. And in video 3, we looked at doing an HTTP post, again with the Web Client class, but then we also looked at how we could do a post that involved both sending data to a server and getting data back in the response stream. And we looked at the slightly more advanced class, HTTP Web Request and HTTP Web Response, in order to do that. Here in video number 4, which is where we are, we're going to just step back to Web Client again, just to make things simpler, and we're going to just have a look at cross-domain access. So we'll go and take a look at how that surfaces itself and what that looks like. Okay, so we're back in Visual Studio, and the code is as it was at the end of the first video. So we have this posts.xml file, where we have a bunch of posts, where a post has a title, a date, and a description. On the client side, we have a class that kind of matches that. We have a post, and it has a title, a description, and a date. And we also know how to change an X element from the link to XML API into one of those posts by just reaching into an element called title, another one called description, another one called pub date. So it perfectly matches the XML file that we've got here. And then we've got a little piece of UI, and the UI has a button on it, and that button runs this piece of code here, where we use the web client, and we tell it to download asynchronously with OpenRead Async that posts.xml file, and when that completes, we grab the resulting event args, we check to see if it wasn't cancelled and there wasn't an error, and if there wasn't, we get a stream back with the data from the server. We put that into link to XML, we find all the post elements, and we convert them into instances of the post data type I just showed you, and then we bind that onto the screen, so that when we press F5 right now, we can go and just get that data, and it's bound onto the screen, as you can see. So that's kind of how and where we are right now. Now, it just so happens that the machine I'm running on, localhost, is actually my machine. It's my laptop. It's called mTalty. So instead of using this URI here, let's change this to a absolute URI in the first instance. So let's change that to absolute, and let's make that into HTTP localhost video, I think it's called, files posts. And let's just make sure that still works. So we're just using a full URI as opposed to relative URI, and we should see that when we get our data, it still works. Now, my machine, my local host, is actually called mTalty. So if we press F5 on this, we'd expect that this would just carry on working the way it worked before. And we click Get Data on this, and nothing seems to happen. And so that's a bit strange. Now, nothing happens because our error handling is pretty poor. It's interesting to note that if we were to request this application from mTalty, which is exactly the same place, and then click the button, then it works fine. And what's going on here is Silverlight is applying its cross-domain policy. So in the case where we go and download it from this particular URL, Silverlight thinks the application came from localhost, then it sees it trying to go to what looks like another host, mTalty, and it doesn't allow that to happen. And if we were to go to our code over here, we would see we did have a tiny bit of exception handling in here. If we go and click our button, we'll see that there is an error in play. We kind of thought it would be a web exception at the time that we wrote that code. But in fact, if we look at e.error, it's a security exception. And effectively what's going on is that we're trying to do a cross-domain call that Silverlight will not allow by default. So the client seems to be going off to some other domain that the user wasn't aware of, so it doesn't allow that to happen. There's a couple of ways we can mitigate this. One is to say that this doesn't really apply if the client is a trusted client. And so new in Silverlight 4 is the idea that an application that's out of browser can install itself as trusted if the user allows that. We haven't seen an out-of-browser version of this application yet, but we could go to our project, we could set its properties. And if we set it to be simply out of browser, to allow it to go out of browser, that would make no difference because the sandbox for an out-of-browser application is just the same as the sandbox for a browser application. However, if we were to go and set, and I'm not sure I can even use the dialog on this resolution of screen, let's see if we can just move the dialog up the screen a little bit. If we were to go and set that this application, I'm really not sure that I can use this dialog on this screen. Move. No. This is rather a difficult dialogue to use at 1024x768. Got myself into a mess. Let's just see if we can... So, as you can see, I finally managed to tick the checkbox here at the bottom of the screen that says Require Elevated Trust. So let's OK that dialog now. And then if we rerun the application, we'll get an option on the application to install it locally. This is a trusted application, you can see by the beta dialog that you've got on the screen right now. But if we allow it to install, it does not have any limitation about where it can go on the network, and so consequently can do what it wants. And you can see how that works. However, for our browser-based application, we can make this work by implementing a client access policy on the site that it is trying to go cross-domain to. Now, note, in my particular circumstance, both localhost and my mTolte hostname are exactly the same place. It's just that Silverlight doesn't know that. And so what it's going to try and do is it's going to try and go to that mTolte site and ask if it's OK for applications from localhost to make cross-domain requests across there. And what it does, it actually goes and looks for a particular file. So let's go and open up, and let's just close down some windows here. What we'll do is go and open up my root web server, because that's where it's going to go, and look for that file. So let's just add into this an existing website, which is just my root web server. So there, just go to the top of that tree. And what it's looking for here is a file called clientaccesspolicy.xml. You can see I've kind of got a hidden one with the wrong extension on it here. But let's just go and add a new one. So we'll add to this website a new item. And this can be an XML file. We'll call this clientaccesspolicy.xml. That does need to be the name of it. And I'm just going to paste in a shortened version I've got. It's worth saying that there is another format of file supported, which is the cross-domain file from Adobe's Flash product, but this is the file that Silverlight looks for in the first instance. So what this file is saying is that if you want to make a cross-domain call, my policy is that I will allow you to use any HTTP method you want. Now, from a security perspective, it might be better to be more restrictive about that, but I'm just using everything there. I'm saying that you can come from the localhost domain. So if you're coming from the localhost domain and you're using any verb, and it's important to know that you can also specify particular HTTP headers here as well, which we'll look at perhaps in much later videos, then I allow you access to my videos virtual directory and any subpaths on it in this particular case. So let's save that file and let's go back to our application and just spin it up again. And let's test this out. So if we click Get Data now, you can see that we're getting data because Silverlight is reading that cross-domain policy file. We're trying to make a request from localhost to mTolte, and the file says that that is permitted, and so consequently get data back from this. Let's just close that down for a second. So notice again that that file went into localhost. It didn't go into localhost videos, because that's where Silverlight is going to look for it. It goes to the root of the sort of domain that you're heading for. The other thing to say is that this also applies a kind of cross-scheme. So there are restrictions cross-scheme as well. So let's imagine, for instance, that we're serving up the application over HTTP, but the application wants to make a request over HTTPS. So let's go and take a look at that. Let's go back to our code. Just find that down here. And let's get the application to request over HTTPS. Now, I need to just say that my HTTPS certificate is actually a self-issued certificate, and it's for the full host name. So I'm just going to bang the full host name in here. So just putting my full host name in there. Okay, so let's spin up the application, and instead of requesting it via localhost, let's request it by its proper name. So there's the application coming from its proper URL. Now, when we go and click on Get Data, we are not doing a cross-domain request because we started on that domain and we're trying to stay within that domain and yet our click to get data doesn't work, and we can see we're still seeing a security exception come through. And this is simply because we're going from HTTP to HTTPS, and Silverlight's not prepared to allow us to do that unless we've explicitly said that that is an okay thing to do. So once again, we can go back to our client access policy file over here. Let's just find that guy, spin this up, and we can change that file to say, okay, we also allow, let's say, mtalti.europe.corp.microsoft.com. So this is kind of strange because we're not actually making a sort of cross-domain request, but if we refresh this in the browser and click Get Data, you can see we now get data. So we've gone from HTTP to HTTPS. And the opposite is also kind of true. So if we shut this down and go back to our code, let's get the code to request over HTTP. Let's press F5. Let's switch the browser, so that the browser is going to HTTPS and the full host name, which is what I need in order to make my certificate valid. Probably that. Okay, so we're requesting the app over HTTPS. Then the app tries to go over HTTP, and even if we display mixed content, we still get an error and that won't work. So again, HTTPS to HTTP. So once again, we could visit our client access policy. Let's just go take a look at this. And we could say, okay, we will allow that to happen by copying in HTTPS into there. And if we go back and refresh the app and click Get Data, then we're getting our data back. So be aware that there's some wildcarding as well that you can do around this, by the way, in these files. But be aware that as you're going cross-domain, Silverlight is enforcing security policy, and as you're going cross-scheme, Silverlight enforces security policy. These things are relaxed for out-of-browser applications that are trusted, but in the in-browser case, they're not relaxed. And as it happens, there's also some enforcement around intranet zones inside of Internet Explorer. So if you're going from a if you're going from a more restricted zone to less restricted zones, then that also applies as well. So there's more stuff in there about that. But hopefully you get an idea as to how these things are being enforced between what your application is trying to do and what it's actually able to do as it goes out onto the network. Okay, so let's leave that as one separate topic, this idea of going cross-domain and cross-scheme, of course. We had that in there as well. And then we'll come back and talk about using a different HTTP verb and where that opens us up to. So let's just close this down.